This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين My beloved brothers in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Thank you so much, Jazakallah Khair, for joining us this episode 33 of our series, The Blessed Women Around the Messenger, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In our last episode, we completed with our ninth personality, our ninth mother, Habiba, Ramla, the daughter of Abu Sufyan. Allah be pleased with both of them. And it's good for us, as I mentioned, to keep a list, a mental checklist, of all the personalities, our mothers, as we've discussed them so far over these last 33 episodes. So we began with our mother Khadija radiallahu anha. We spoke about our mother Sauda radiallahu anha. We mentioned our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. Then our mother Hafsa radiallahu anha. Our mother Zainab binti Khuzaymah radiallahu anha. Our mother Salama radiallahu anha. Our mother Zainab binti Jahsh radiallahu anha. Our mother Juwayriyah radiallahu anha. And then last episode, our mother Ramla, the daughter of Abu Sufyan. Today, inshallah, we'll talk about our mother Safiya bint Huyay ibn Akhtab. Safiya, the daughter of Huyay, the son of Akhtab. And Safiya, like Juwayriyah, like Habiba, she was the daughter of a staunch enemy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, Huyay was on par with Abu Sufyan. Huyay was of the senior leadership against Islam. A man who had tried many, many avenues to destroy Islam and to personally harm the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A man who had deep, deep hatred for Islam. And Safiya is the only mother of the Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, the only wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who actually comes from a Jewish background. So, what do we know about her? Our mother Safiya, she's just under 40 years. There's about a 40-year gap between herself and the Prophet ﷺ. She was about 20 years old. The Prophet ﷺ was in his late 50s, 56, 58, when he married our mother Safiya. Our mother Safiya is described as being a very petite, small woman. So she was very diminutive in size, very petite, and she was short as well. She was the most delicate and soft-hearted of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ. You'd find many, many hadith about her, and she's always crying, very soft-hearted girl. Of all the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, she was the one you could say most grew up as a princess, because the Bani Israel, the Jews of Arabia, they had much more of a civilization, much more of a culture than the Arabs, who were more desert folk. The Jews, the Bani Israel, were more cultured, they were wealthier, they had a bit of luxury. And here Safiya, the daughter of a chief, a ruler from the Bani Israel, in many ways she was a princess. And she grew up a very pampered lifestyle. And then, of course, to be transitioned from that to become the wife of the Prophet ﷺ was a big change. And how did this come about? So before we talk about our mother Safiya, it's important for us to get to know her father, Huyay ibn Akhtab, this very evil man, this arch enemy of Islam. What do we know about him? So the Prophet ﷺ, we know he spent 13 years in Mecca preaching Islam. 13 years he was calling the Quraysh to Islam. Of course, the Quraysh rejected Islam and they persecuted the Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then permitted for the Muslims to leave Mecca and to emigrate, to make the hijrah to Medina. And when the Muslims came to Medina, they found in Medina, there were Arab tribes. There were also three Jewish tribes, three tribes of the Bani Israel. Now, side note here, we might ask, why are Jews in Medina? You didn't find Jews in Mecca. You only found Jews in two places. In all of Arabia, there were really only two cities which had Jews. This city of Medina and a city called Khaybar. Very important. Keep in mind this word Khaybar, because the city will come in the story of our mother Safiya. And Khaybar and Medina are very similar. They are oasis towns. They are cities that have date trees. They look almost identical, Khaybar and Medina. So why do we find Jews in these two cities? Well, we know from the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the Bani Israel, the Jews, they were looking for the last prophet that would come. The Jews, of course, Allah blessed the Bani Israel that in their lineage they had Anbiya. The tribe that received the most Nabis is the Bani Israel, the children of Nabi Ya'qub. So if you look at all the Anbiya, Nabi Ya'qub, Nabi Yusuf, Nabi Musa, Nabi Dawud, Nabi Sulaiman, Nabi Zakaria, Nabi Isa, Nabi Yahya, all of these are Bani Israeli Nabis and many, many more. So Allah had blessed the Bani Israel with many Anbiya. And the last Nabi that came, Nabi Isa, was a Nabi. And with him, Zakaria, with him, Yahya. So naturally the Bani Israel thought, Allah will bless them that the final Nabi would come from the progeny of the Bani Israel. And based on these scriptures, based on the understanding, Allah had given them certain signs, they believe that the city of the Prophet would either be Khaybar or Medina. And of course, Medina is the city of the Prophet. They believe that this city would be the city where a Nabi would rise up from amongst them. And as Allah mentions in the Quran, in Surah Baqarah, that when Allah had sent to them a Nabi, which they had been asking for, they had been calling Allah, send us a Nabi, and they recognized him, but when he was not from their own progeny, they rejected him. When he turned out to be an Arab, they refused to accept him. Now this ties very much into our story of our mother, Safiya. So the Prophet ﷺ comes to Medina. The Arabs, of course, embraced Islam, majority of them. So the city, by and large, is a Muslim city. But there are three tribes of Jews living in there. And these three tribes, well, it's not important for us to know their names, but their names, just for interest sake, the first tribe we have is called the Banu Qaynuqa. The Banu Qaynuqa. Then we have the Banu Nadir. The Banu Nadir. And we have then the Banu Qurayza. The Banu Qurayza. So we have these three tribes, Banu Qaynuqa, Banu Nadir, and the Banu Qurayza. The Banu Nadir, Khuyay, Safiya's dad, is the chief of the Banu Nadir, the middle tribe. And when the Prophet ﷺ comes to Medina, the first thing he does, didn't expel the Jews, he didn't fight with them, he called them to Islam. Some of them accepted, for example, Muhammad ibn Salam, great Sahabi, radiallahu anhu. Muhammad ibn Salam, he was the chief rabbi of Medina. He was the most educated rabbi of Medina, and he embraces Islam. So he meets the Prophet sallam and he says, this man is a prophet, and he embraces Islam, but his people rejected him. So the majority of the Yahud rejected Islam. They did not want to embrace Islam. No problem. La ikraha fi din. We do not compel anyone into Islam. So the Prophet sallam signed an agreement, what it's called the Medina Charter, or the Constitution of Medina, where it was agreed that, look, we all live in Medina, we will not fight each other, we will not harm one another, and we will not support outsiders to harm each other. So Jews, we will not support anyone that wants to harm you, we will not assist them. And similarly, Bani Israel, do not support the Quraysh against us. So this was the agreement, and all the tribes, Muslim, Jew, and of course there were certain Arabs that did not embrace Islam, they all signed, and alhamdulillah, this was the idea of Medina, the Medina Charter, or the Constitution of Medina. It's something very important for every Muslim to know. This is how Islam is. We not force people into Islam by the sword, as is believed. However, one by one, the Jewish tribes reneged, or they broke the agreement with the Prophet ﷺ. So for example, the Banu Qaynuqa, they were the first tribe. They had, killed a man, a Muslim man, and they had uncovered a woman, and they started a fight, and this was after the Battle of Badr, and they had basically incited violence against the Muslims. And so the Prophet ﷺ said, you know what, if you guys cannot live by the treaty of the Medina Charter, then leave Medina. So he expelled them. He said, then leave Medina. And you can take your food, your goods, your property, everything, you may leave. So the Banu Qaynuqa left Medina. The Prophet ﷺ then goes to the remaining two Jewish tribes, the Banu Nadir and the Banu Qurayza. He goes to them and he says, look, your brethren, your fellow brothers, they broke the treaty. We let them go. We didn't punish them. Do you guys still want to live according to this treaty? And they said, yes, we accept. We still want to remain on this treaty. A year goes by. You have the Battle of Uhud, where the Muslims basically lost the battle and the Muslims were in a weak position. And in that weak position, you found even before the battle, one of the chief leaders of the Banu Nadir, he actually calls the Quraysh and he incites them and he mentions to them that they should come to Medina, the Muslims are weak. And of course this is high treason, for one of the leadership of the Yahud to be in communication with Abu Sufyan and the Quraysh. Then after the battle as well, they continue and they challenge the Prophet ﷺ. And what made matters even worse, two Muslims were killed during this tension between the Banu Nadir and the Muslims. So two Muslims were killed. And the Prophet ﷺ does not punish the tribe, rather he goes to the Banu Nadir to discuss how to ratify the treaty. Let's keep the treaty of peace. At the same time, two men were killed, you need to pay the blood money. If this was an accident, then we have to pay blood money to his family. The Jews agree, and the Huyay, this man Huyay, the father of Safiya, the our mother we will talk about, her father, her dad, he says to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, come to our fortress, because the Jews had fortresses, wait outside and we'll let you in. And as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is standing outside, from above they try to throw a boulder on top of his head. But Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala informs the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam of this plot, so he disperses. So there was the Banu Nadir were caught out for trying to assassinate the leader of Medina. A group of people colluded, not just any people, this is the leadership. The guys in charge of the Banu Nadir, they got together and they tried to assassinate the Prophet ﷺ. Now this, of course, by any stretch of the imagination, this is in any country on earth, this is known, this is very clear, high treason. This is high treason. And the Prophet ﷺ therefore says to the Banu Nadir, just go. You are expelled from Medina. No one is going to be harmed. No one is going to be killed. Just leave Medina. You broke the treaty and go. So Safiya, she was born in Medina. She lived in this fortress. And so she was there. She was about 15, 16, 17 years old when they would have been expelled from Medina. So she along with her father and her tribe were kicked out of Medina. And so they went to the other city of Khaybar to settle in Khaybar with the Jews of Khaybar. Her father, Huyay, did not stop at that. After being expelled from Medina, after breaking the treaty, and this is now this third time that he ratified the treaty and then he broke it, he now goes to Abu Sufyan. And he was the man, really he's the mastermind at the Battle of the Trench. So the third battle of Islam is called the Battle of the Trench. Why is it called the Battle of the Trench? A very interesting, a wonderful battle which shows the power of Allah. Basically, and the Quran actually calls it the Battle of the Ahzab. Ahzab is the coalition, the confederation. A confederation or a coalition is a number of groups all coming together to fight one enemy. And all the tribes that had problems with the Muslims, they were brought together like a United Nations, an evil United Nations basically, all coming to, with one purpose, destroy Medina completely. Not just kill the Prophet ﷺ, it is to kill every man, woman and child. So who was the one that put all this together? It is this man, Huyay ibn Akhtab. So from Khaybar, deep resentment, deep hatred for the Muslims, he went to Mecca with a delegation, and he spoke to Abu Sufyan, and he said, look, why don't you come, that there are many enemies around Medina. If you bring an army, we will support you. We, the Bani Israel, will support you and we'll bring the other tribes. So there was a big tribe called the tribe of the Khatafan. We'll bring them together. We'll pay them. And together, we will have such a big army that Muhammad and his followers cannot stop us. Then we will enter Medina. We will kill all the Muslims and we'll put an end to this religion once and for all. And it's even mentioned in the Quran that Abu Sufyan was surprised. Abu Sufyan, idol pagan worshipper, said, but you guys also worship one God, you guys also believe in prophets, Muhammad is speaking about the Nabi Musa, all these things, who's closer to the truth? And the Bani Israel actually said here that you, O Quraysh, idol worshippers who bury your daughters alive, that have no laws, you are closer to the truth than Muhammad. Now of course this was completely against everything that they know. This was a lie. This was a betrayal of their own aqidah, their own religion, their own Torah. But they did this purely for political purposes. And Allah mentions this in the Quran. This is what they said. Nonetheless, the Jews and the Ghatafan and the Quraysh all collude and they all agree and they form an army, 10,000 men. It's the biggest army that has ever appeared in Arabia at this time. No army this size ever appeared before. And they all join up and they're about to invade Medina. So when the news reaches Medina that this massive army is coming, what are we going to do? And the Prophet ﷺ, when we learn his biography, we'll see the kind of leader he was. He would always do what was called shura, mashura. He would sit down with his senior leaders, and not even his senior leaders, sometimes he would discuss with, you know, the public, and he will say, what should we do? Now this is a major issue, an issue of national security. We have an army coming to invade Medina, what should we do? And he opens this to everyone. Are there any suggestions? No one can come forward with a good suggestion. No one has a good suggestion. Everyone's out of ideas. And there you find, subhanAllah, Salman al-Farisi, Salman the Persian, he was a slave. He had no family, he's a foreigner, he's an outsider. A person like this in our community might not even get any attention at all, yet he stands up and he says, I have a suggestion. In our country, in Persia, when a big army like the Romans want to attack us, what we do is we dig a ditch, a hole around the entire city, and the army can't get in, and so then they are stuck on the outside, we have our provisions on the inside, and eventually after maybe a few weeks or so, this army can no longer sustain itself, and so it disperses. And of course, alhamdulillah, the Prophet ﷺ agrees that this is the best course of action, and so we know from the story that the Muslims dug this trench. They dug this trench. And from all the corners of Medina, they had fortifications. So Medina is fortified from every corner. There was one point of weakness in Medina. And that point of weakness was the Banu Qurayza. If you remember, there's still one Jewish tribe still in Medina. And this also shows you a side note here. Many people believe, and in fact, I must sadly say, even Muslims believe this, that Islam is anti-Semitic. That Islam has animosity to the Bani Israel, to the Jews, simply because they're Jewish. No, it's got nothing to do with what you believe. If Muslims expelled the previous Jews because they were Jews, then the Banu Qurayza would also have been expelled. The Banu Qurayza are also Jews, but they were in Medina. Why? Because we did not punish one group of people for the sins of someone else. We don't punish the Banu Qaynuqa for the crimes of the Banu Nadir or the or Banu Qurayza. We don't do this because we don't punish all the Jews for the crimes of one or two. So the Banu Qurayza, they had confirmed after the two tribes were expelled, they had said, look, we still want to stay in Medina. We are truthful to our agreement. We didn't break any agreement. And so they were allowed to remain. But now that a Jewish army has come, obviously with the Arabs, the question was, which way are they going to swing? Because not only is this an issue of family and tribe and religion, in reality, the Muslims, Medina was on the low India. Medina looked like they, subhanAllah, are going to lose this battle. Everyone who, from an outsider would say, the Muslims are going to lose this battle. So naturally, the Banu Qurayza were wondering, I don't want to be on the losing side of this thing. Nonetheless, when the Prophet spoke to them, they insisted that, look, we will stay firm, we are with you, and we will not break our agreement. And we will keep our side of Medina fortified. No one is going to enter Medina from our fortress. Alhamdulillah, we believe them on that. When the army, the Ahzab, the Confederate army comes to Medina and they see this massive trench, they can't get in. Now a long siege battle ensues. The Quraysh and the Jews and the Ghatafan are camped outside. The Muslims are inside. It's very tense. No one knows what to do. So as time goes by and the Quraysh become agitated, becoming upset, how are we going to get in here? The army can't stay this long outside the city. So it was once again Huyay, Safiya's dad, that comes up with the idea. Let me sneak into Medina. Let me go to the Banu Qurayza. Let me go to this last remaining Jewish tribe. Let me try and convince them to break the agreement with Muhammad. If we can convince them to turn the tide, then we will have an opening and that will be it. This will be the end of them. So this man Huyay, and again, we look at his crimes. He broke his agreement of peace with the Prophet ﷺ. He tried to assassinate the Prophet ﷺ. He's the one that called together. He's the mastermind, the one that actually brought Abu Sufyan and the Quraysh and the Ghatafan to Medina. And now he's the one as well. Personally, he himself goes into Medina undercover to the Banu Qurayza and tries to convince them to break the agreement with the Muslims. And in fact, he does this. He comes to the Banu Qurayza, he knocks on the door, they don't want to let him in. They said, we know what you're coming here for, you're just going to bring us grief and mischief, you're just a troublemaker, go away, go away. And he keeps imploring them that, look, we are brothers, is this how you treat a guest? You can't leave me outside. At the end of the day, we are different sides of the battle, but still we are, you know, from the same religion, we're from the same brotherhood. So they let him in. And once he was inside, he began speaking and speaking and speaking. And of course, ultimately what he said to them was, look guys, you look outside. You've got an army of 10,000 plus men. The whole of Medina is only a few thousand men. The Muslims don't even have a third the numbers as fighters. It's just a matter of time before we overpower the Muslims. And when we finish with Muhammad and the Muslims, if you're still on the side of the Muslims, well, you're on the wrong side. Then you will also have the same punishment like them. So he's basically strong-arming the Banu Qurayza into saying, look, join us. If you join us, then we will enter Medina from your fortress, and that will be it. There will be no way for the Muslims to recover from this. And so reluctantly, and it must be said with great reluctance, the Banu Qurayza accepted the offer of betrayal, and they basically completely broke the agreement with the Prophet ﷺ. In the worst moment, in the middle of the battle, they betrayed the Muslims. And Allah mentions this ayah, this situation in the Quran, when the Muslims were in such severe panic that their eyes went wild and their hearts went up to their throats. And they thought with Allah, they began to have doubts about Allah. Some of them actually thought, is this the end? This is where the road ends. How many Anbiya were killed before? How many people died in battle before? This is where it's going to end. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would show that one man, by the power of Allah, one man would defeat the entire army of the confederation. Inshallah, in our next episode, we'll discuss that further. For any questions, concerns, or comments, wismuhammad@gmail.com. JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.